Accession number 19923, Reel 2.
Wally Foreman, Reel 2. So you're at Barton Stacey and you're with the Gliderbomb troops?
We were with the Border Regiment, South Staffs. I'm sure we're there. And from then on, it was all a matter of training, you know. And
what kind of training?
Well, mainly it was infantry training, because it was impressed upon us, although we were in the ordnance. I'm not sure whether it was the Remy then, because it was moved over to the Remy, wasn't it? But we were first and foremost infantry, and any other trades or skill that took second place, you know. You were trained and went through all the business of infantrymen. And
how did you cope with that?
Oh, not too badly. Not in those days. I mean, I was, what was I, 41? From 20, I was 20 years of age. I was quite fit. Well, you had to be. We all had medicals, you see. When we were moved into the Air Landing Brigade, we all had to go for medicals to make sure we were, you know, fit and that. Which we were. We had to be A1 to even get in it. Well, then we went through the usual infantryman's courses, you know, rifles and all this marching, pack marching over the country with all sorts of weights in your back and whatnot. Oh, and we, that took pride of place, you see, until we more or less were grounded, you know, into an infantryman's thing. Then people started doing their whatever trades they were in, you know. They'd rigged up, they had a workshop there and everything. It wasn't a big force though, it wasn't all that many. It was just a some of each trade, you know, like armament artificers, wireless operators, sort of thing, that could repair wireless sets, or all sorts, those sort of things, you know. It was more like a sort of a small mobile force, you know.
What trade training were you doing?
Well, I was doing the usual, just the DR service, and driving in any sort of vehicle that was necessary. Just you know, general duties sort of thing. And that was early 42. Oh yeah. And once we'd all finished our infantry training, as you call it, might call it, you know, and then they started going back to their trades, bits and pieces, then they came round, we had to go do gliding first, you know. Well, you had to volunteer for that, to do the gliding. So off we went. About a dozen of us, I think, to Netherhaven, a place called Netherhaven, Wiltshire. And that's where the headquarters was, I'm sure, because General Browning was there. And, anyway, all the only gliders they had then were the little Hotspurs from Canada. And the pilots were Canadians who did it as weekend sports and all that sort of thing, you know. And we had to get in and see how many they would carry. It was only little things, you know. Anyway, we was all boxed around this way, that way and all the rest of it, and then they finally decided it could carry 7 with these seats pointing different, you know, opposite ways, and you could get 7 in it, you know. And off they went. But these pilots, they were quite humorous, they thought, because when the enemy came down, they used a hedge hop. They shoot the ground over the edges, you know. And of course, you could imagine when you got out of it, you felt. And I was lucky again now, because we was in a line. That day we went up for our flights, first flights. There's quite a few, there's a couple of dozen of us, I think, more than, perhaps a bit more. And we was all in single file, and they went, one, two, three, four, six, seven, boom. That was the chap in front of me. I was number one on the next seven. And that one there, zump, hit the ground. Straight off the plane, you know, tow rope. So I was lucky there.
Were they all killed?
I believe so, yeah. Never heard that, well, we heard, you know, that they were, but yeah. But that was our initiation to gliding. We had to do that, you see, to start with. Because we was an air landing brigade, in the, well, brigade, there's only bits and pieces, you know, then. This is the beginning of it all, the start of the airborne, you know. We were sort of sorting things out. And then the workshop was busy making things that could be carried in gliders, you know, such as... these canisters, you know, these long, those who have long canisters, like a cigar, that you could open up. And they used to have guns in them, Bren guns and things, you know. And they used to drop them out on parachutes for the... all those sort of innovations. And, of course, they knew the hawsers were coming along and all that. And we... they had the job of making all these bits and pieces that could be carried in a glider. And another one they got was a little trailer that you could hitch behind a motorbike, you see, that could carry light, like wireless sets or things like that. Nothing too heavy, you know, just small bits and pieces. And they made this trailer. And being a motorcyclist, the DR, I had the job of taking it to back to Netherhaven. And there was Browning, General Browning. And there was also Stirling.
David Stirling.
David Stirling. But he was only a lieutenant or something like that then. He was, you know, he founded the SAS fella. And Mr. Churchill, because he was the instigator of the airborne people, and they came out of this place, and I had to demonstrate over some rough, hilly ground, you know, pulling this trailer, showing the bits and pieces that the workshop had made, you know. Which I did, when, you know, towed it over, pulled up in front of them. Then Mr. Churchill came over, started to try and climb into the trailer. And I had to refuse him. I said, sorry, sorry, sir, I said, but you're a bit too heavy for this. This is for very light, because if you could go over these, it could tip it over, you see. But of course, when they saw, when Major General Browning and Stirling saw what he was trying to do, they came over and pushed him off out of it, you know. But initially, I had to refuse Mr. Churchill for getting in there, you know.
How did he take it?
Oh, very well. The others came up, you know. And he just says, oh, he mumbled something about, you sure it would tip over? I said, I'm sure of it. I said, you'd make it top heavy, you know, have to be, because it was only about that deep, the body, you know, on wheels. Anyway, it went off all right, you know. They liked it and all the rest of it. And I took it back. Took it back to the Barton Stacey. And carried on. And another thing I got involved with was the infrared goggles, night glasses. You could see at night, you know. Now this is 42. No one, I don't think anyone had heard of them by then, at that time. And I was sent over to Farnborough in Hampshire. That's where the Boffins hanging out then. And this was in the dead of night in some woods. I couldn't say where they were, you know, but we went in lorries and jeeps. We had the jeep in. And I had to drive this jeep with a civilian, whoever he was, Boffin, I suppose, sitting alongside. And they had this sort of a tripod, sort of stand thing, you know, with these goggles hanging on it. Yeah. And I used the headlights, you know. He showed me up to the edge of the woods. And then when we got to the edge of the woods, like, we saw this sort of narrow pathway going through, you know, just a walkway sort of thing. He said, all right, turn your headlights off, you know, and put these goggles on, which I had to do. And it was dim, but you could see, you know, could see enough to drive with. And I had to drive this jeep following this path in and out of the woods, and that was the start of the infrared glasses, night glasses, you know. And about a week later, I had to go back there and walk this time with a pair of goggles on. Well, there was about three of us, given these goggles. And we were told that there was infantry in the woods, in dugouts, in the woods. They couldn't see us because it was at night, you see, deep in the woods, we were all black. They couldn't see us, but we should be able to see them. And we were to flank them, you know, go around the sides and get behind them and then make yourself known, you know, but they mustn't see you, which we did for about an hour. It was quite fun. Really, we set off, you know, into the woods. We could see these squaddies, you know, they couldn't see us, so we went round. Then we get at the back of their dugout, you know, the like trench thing. Watch it out, jump out their skin, you know, because they hadn't seen us, but we could see them. And that was another little experiment we carried out. And it went on like that, you know, different things, all to do with airborne, to do with what you could take in a glider, or you could drop out on a parachute and all that sort of thing, you know. It was all bits and pieces, I think, until the time came to go up to Ringway, Manchester, where we had to do a parachute course. And I think we was up there 2 weeks, or is it three, 2 or 3 weeks. We had to go through another load of getting fit and all that sort of thing. We thought we was fit when we went up there, but when they finished with us, we were jumping out of our skins. And from the minute you got up there, was at the double. As soon as you stepped outside your billet, your hut, you doubled everywhere, no walking. And all rank was taken off, officers, sergeants, all that rank out. You was all one. And we went on all these cross-country things and all that sort of thing, you know. I think for about a week before we started. But in between that, we was going into the big hangars and doing the jumping off of these, what's the names? High.
Platforms?
Platforms, you know. Just the harness, you know. And that went on. And then we had to do the balloon. First we started off jumping out of the balloon. Static balloon thing, you know. I think we did 4 or 5 out of there. At about 600 feet, something like that. About 600 feet, I think it was. Anyway, we did those. And then it came to the out of the plane. Well, at that time, this is still early 42, or around about, you know, first half 42. They only had the old Whitleys, where you had to go out the hole in the fuselage at the bottom, you know. Anyway, we did those. I think we'd done 7 of those, or 9, quite a few. Anyway, that earned us our wings. You know, these. And but it's lovely there. The old Salvation Army loved them. I always put something in their tins. But the first time you do your first jump, you know, over Tatton Park, that was the dropping zone, Tatton Park from Ringway. And you can imagine your first jump. You get down, you know, and you have to gather up your chute and make them off. And there was the mobile canteen of the Salvation Army. And I gave him a mug of tea and 2 cigarettes, fags, you know, the best cup of tea and smoke you ever had. Lovely, they were. And anyway, we completed that course. We'd done the gliding. We went up about quite a few times in the gliders, and then so we switched over to the parachutes, which increased your money, of course. So with the gliders, you only got a shilling a day. But when you've done your course, your jumping course, you got 2 shillings a day. You got 2 shillings a day. So your money went up as well. And, but things to remember, there was, I remember up there was the way the officers mucked in. Because in those hangars, you know, when you were doing the jumping off of these platforms, if you didn't do it right, if you fell awkwardly, you know, or didn't roll, or as the instructor, they were all RAF instructors, if you didn't do it right, the rest of the team there, there used to be about 10 of you, I suppose, in the line, you know. You was all free to go and kick his ass, you know. Roll him over, because sand, you know, it was all sand. Like. And you could abuse him, you know, you could give him a rough time. And the officers took it just as well as the blokes, you know, the chaps. It was good atmosphere there. The 2 things stood out there, though, for me. You see, they had the canteen there, you see, and at night you go over there and they used to have these WAFs, parachute packers. They had WAFs that used to pack the chutes. And you could never go over there, and there was 1 or 2 of them crying, because there were quite a few casualties there at that time, you know, and they didn't open properly. Mine never. And they used to be in there having a little cry, because they each thought that it was one of the chutes they packed that hadn't opened that day, you know, as some another casualty and all that. Well, so they used to call them Roman candles if they never opened. But mine opened partially, not fully. and I came down twice as fast as I should have, but I don't know. But anyway, it didn't open properly, and I hit the ground very hard on my sort of shoulders and back of the head. And I was out for, I suppose, about 10 minutes, something like that. And
the chute didn't open properly?
No, only partially developed. And but of course, it was in a big field, you know, and I suppose I was out something like 10 minutes, something like that. But it didn't catch up to me till later. Anyway, the two things that stood out in my mind was going into that canteen of a night and them little wafts having a cry because they thought, because there was quite a few casualties in those days. This is all, don't forget, experimenting, you know. It was all trial and error, as you might say. And the second was the Yanks, when the Americans came over to show us how to do it. And there was this team of American paras. And they came in their Dakota. And to make it more interesting, they said that they would have a little competition. They would take off, and a stick of our chaps would take off and see, go to Tappan Park and see who would be down in action stations first. So I wasn't with the team, but a couple of days later, they took off from Manchester, from Ringway. Off went the Yanks and off went our blokes. And of course, our chaps came out at about 800 feet. Yanks went up about 2 miles. Of course, our boys were sitting down having a smoke, waiting for them, you know, all guns on them. They floated down like a cook's tour. Anyway, we never did see them again. We heard the next day that they shot off. I think they must have felt a little bit, because they came over to show us how to do it, you see. Instead of that, they were brought back to Earth, I think. Yeah, they came out at thousands of feet up. Our boys, about 800, I think it was those days. 600 for the balloon, I think, and 800 for the, or the other way round, one or two, I forget which. But I know our chaps were down, guns at the ready, all having a fag while waiting for these Yanks to come down. That was two things that. And it was the other one. The King came up there with Churchill one day. And it was bad weather. I shouldn't have done it. But they had put on this demonstration. And there was a hell of a lot of broken arms and legs and things. But nobody went out and picked them up until they'd gone, you know. It was the King and Churchill and Browning and all that lot. Of course, they just left them there until they shoved off before they went out and picked up these chaps. Anyway, that was Ringway. So we were fully fledged paras when we came back from there to our units. And we'd done our glider course, so we were. Fully qualified. Yeah. So we finished at Ringway and returned to our units. There was all half a dozens and threes and fours from all the various units, the signals, engineers, you know, all these people. From the different support units, more or less, you know, that had taken the, because they weren't forced to take these courses, you know. And but there was always some representing all the various support groups, you know, that they needed. And that was it. Back we went to Barton Stacey, and I was running the usual. DRLS, so it's to different units all round the area, and I used to come up to the War Office about once a fortnight, or once a week, once a fortnight. We used to drop off at Chelsea Barracks, get some petrol. Sometimes we used to drop the mail there. I think they had a sorting office at Chelsea Barracks where then they used to deliver it to the War Office and the Admiralty, you know, different ministries from there. But sometimes I had to go to the office itself. But that's as, and I got knocked off my bike there, going back there one morning. Because you used to come up one day, you see, stop overnight at home, and then bash it back the next morning in time for the 8 o'clock parade, you see.
What knocked you off the bike?
Horse. I'd just from between Basingstoke and Barton Stacey, the country lanes. You come off the main road, just at Basingstoke, I think it was, and cut through the country, you see, to Barton Stacey. And I'm hammering along there. One morning, back to the unit, and a little narrow lane, and then suddenly this horse comes across out of a field, you know. No chance. Anyway, as I got near to him, he reared, you know, reared up. The noise of the motorbike, I suppose, you know, he reared up. The bike shot underneath the horse, but I hit him bang on the flank, you know, on the side. Knocked me off the bike, of course. The bike went shooting up the road. And the first thing I remember after that was in a farmhouse, in the farmer's cottage or farmhouse or whatever it was. And amazingly enough, I couldn't, because I'd been with my chest straight on, you know, bump. And I was able to ride back to Barton Stacey, but later on I found out I'd broken my wrist on the, what's the name, you know, so I had a fortnight or something like that in plaster back at Barton Stacey, and a bit of a telling off for stopping overnight, which I shouldn't have done, you see. Anyway, things went along, we kept doing various jobs and doing all the letter service business all around, you know. And that went on until we, early 43. Meanwhile, you see, the brigade had become a brigade, I think. They'd put a couple of para-battalions in, they'd to build it up to brigade strength, you know, which was the first air landing brigade. When we started, it was just a load of, you know, bits and pieces all around, you know. But now it was taken form, you know. So we had these glider battalions, and then out on the Salisbury Way, I mean, they were taking whole battalions of infantry troops, you know, and turning them into para-battalions. Of course, that was more work to go around. They used to deliver around all a lot, you know. And all this went on, these different experiments and things, until we were ready to go abroad. And then we got